Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Find them smiling every Saturday morning from 9 for CMI Toyota, who love to see you CMI-ling at one of their three big locations. 104.7 Triple M.
Ah, yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Dead Set Legends on this, once again, a beautiful Saturday morning in our town. Daylight saving over the weekend. It is all happening. We're with you now, right through until 12 o'clock on this beautiful Saturday morning, talking to everybody that is making news in the wonderful world of sport. One man who's not making news is my partner in crime.
Oh.
This morning, I'm not happy with him. And I refer to Greg Blewett. Hello, Bluey.
Oh, good morning. Well, just like the opener said, where's the respect? What aren't you happy with?
Well, I'm not happy about the fact that the Redbacks, which you are a very, very strong part of, the coaching team, are out of the one-day competitions.
Yes.
I learnt yesterday, they were beaten,
yes.
And I learnt yesterday that you weren't there.
Well, now, mate, I can't be in two places at the same time.
Well, get your priorities
Do you want
right.
me to do Dead Set Legends and be
really?
In Perth with the Redbacks as well?
Redbacks come first.
Well, so, who's going to coach the under-19s and look after the boys that are left
get
over?
Get your priorities right, my friend.
Yeah.
Get your priorities right.
Morning, everyone, but plenty happening, KG. Of course, Bathurst. Well, it's happening all weekend, but the big one tomorrow and the official start of cricket season today. District cricket starts and cricket all around this magnificent state starts today. So
you're overlooking one very important fact to see you've started badly again.
What?
Like last night. Last night. What was on last night?
Port, Best and Fairest.
That's exactly.
And footy season's over, Cage.
No, it's not.
It's not?
It is there over now. but you've got to mention the fact that Justin Westhoff, the oldest man on the Port side, won the John Cale medal.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
No, that is brilliant. And reward for a very, very fine season.
Very versatile.
Yes, very versatile. You're right. He was up and down the ground, also in the ruck, did everything. So I was a little bit worried that he might get overlooked. He's one of those players that doesn't really necessarily stand out.
You've
got a couple of superstars there, but very well deserved. So congratulations.
Exactly right. We'll get a big program, Bluey.
Yes, we have, Cage. Who's coming on?
You've not done one thing to contribute to it, but never mind. We've got Greg Russell.
Where's the respect?
The V8 guru will tell us about what's happening or what might happen at Bathurst. Mitch Grigg. Now, we'll talk to Mitch Grigg about an issue
this.
That I'm not happy about.
You're hot.
And we'll talk to Terry McAuliffe, the great Mayor Winks, who goes for, 28 straight wins today at Turnbull Stakes in Flemington. So
it's
a big program. We're off and running. You can be a part of it. 133353 is our number. You can get on the Bluey's back if you want to. Have a crack at him as I did. Just be my guest, folks. 133353 is our number.
You can get us on Twitter at Triple M Adelaide for CMI Toyota. Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Dead Set Legends on Triple M for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer. You can get a hold of us on 133353 and on Twitter. You can chat with the boys live at Triple M Adelaide.
Yeah, good on you, Hados. Bluey and KG with you right through until midday. And I've got to say, Bluey, there's something up my nose this morning. It just begs belief, to be honest with you, that the AFL Commission have in fact rubber stamped a mid-season draft from the sample. In other words, they can come in halfway through the year and just take players. How many players can they take from one club? It will destroy the sample. The sample's got enough problems at the moment, but you can imagine, for argument's sake, this year. Which will apply next year, that an AFL club can pick a player from, say, the Norwood Footy Club. What if Shenton, Mitch Grigg, and Panos were all drafted in the mid-year draft? What would that do to Norwood's chances this year of winning a premiership? They would have gone from being red-hot favourites to be lucky to make the five.
This is 100% happening, isn't it? The AFL
Commission AFL have rubber stamped it.
Right.
It'll take place next year in 2019, whereby clubs can get involved and draft players from the sample. It's the biggest joke I've ever heard in my life. It just headlines the fact that the AFL couldn't give a stuff.
No, that was going to be my point.
grassroots football. They just couldn't give us up. All they worry about is their own little nest egg. And if we sit back, if the clubs and the Sandful sit back and cop this, we are in real, real strife. We've got to say to the AFL, you've got to reverse that decision. This will kill the Sandful football competition as we've known it for over 100 years. I've never read anything so ridiculous.
As I see it, KG, I reckon there's only one positive out of that. And that's if you're an 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, and you've missed out on the preseason draft, that's another opportunity that you might get with the AFL. But that's it, I reckon. I mean, you're right. These SANFL clubs, they have to have some sort of planning that goes into their season. And if you get your best players taken out halfway through the season, where does that leave you?
Well, you're stuffed. Yeah. You're gone. You're shot.
And the AFL are being, you're right, it's just all about the AFL. Them. They don't give a stuff about
but
football.
But more importantly, and this is the issue from my point of view, we just can't roll over as a state, as a competition, and let this happen. We've got to knock doors down and say to the AFL, look what you're doing. Look at the repercussions. It will destroy the Sandful competition. I am so angry about this. It is ridiculous.
I was interested to listen or read Sue Dewing's quote on
from the Sturt Football Club.
We are not happy to and note the SANFL has written to the AFL asking a range of questions. However, our director of football, Chris Sregrold, states, it is what it is, and we will learn to work around it.
See,
so that to me, they've asked the SANFL, and the SANFL said, you know what? Our hands are tied.
Well, we don't roll over. We've done this too many times in the past. You know, we've had it shoved down our throat. We've got to be stronger than that. We've got to go, not right, go in person, a deputation to the AFL and say, look, you can't do this because it will destroy the fabric of the Sandful comp.
And not only here, Australia-wide.
Australia-wide. Yeah. Grassroots footy, it's stupid. Anyway, it's a Triple M family. Do you support my thoughts or not? 133353. Are you in favour of a mid-season draft where it could destroy the Sandful competition? 133353 is the number. We've got some great prices for the best call of the morning. Go to it. I'm angry. I'm not happy at all.
You can also let us know what you think on Twitter at Triple M Adelaide. For CMI Toyota, Triple M's Dead Set Legends. For CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer, it is Dead Set Legends with Ken Cunningham and Greg Blewett.
Yeah, good on you, Haydos. Our topic this morning, if you want to give us a call, the news that next year there will be a mid-season draft in the Sandful competition. And I'm of the belief, if I've made my point, that it could, in fact, it will destroy the Sandful competition. 133353 is our number. Give us your thought, folks.
The other thing we didn't say, KG, before we go to our callers, is if they're having a mid-season draft, just have it amongst the clubs, the current AFL clubs.
Well, that's exactly the way it should go. Just involve the AFL clubs. Leave the Sandful and grassroots footy alone.
All right, let's hear from some of our callers. Ange from Kidman Park, what are your thoughts on the mid-season season draft, Ange?
Hey, boys, if you're getting one important thing, though, what about the salary cap? How's that going to affect it?
Well, that's another issue.
We haven't heard too many details about how it's going to work, have we?
No,
but they'd have to give compensation to the SNFL club. They'd have to move them over. There's an added cost. You know, you can't just... It's okay. They put them on $100,000 a year, which is probably a base salary. A lot of these clubs are chockers on their salary cap. So... It's crazy. Yeah, well, why don't they just increase the playing list, give them another three or four rookies like they did back in the day, and they won't have to do this.
And whichever way you look at it, you can't allow AFL clubs mid-season to come over here and take from a club or clubs two or three players. It will destroy the fabric of the competition. That's the issue, Ange.
The AFL do what they want when they want.
Yep. Exactly. And that's another
issue. And you know what? And they don't care about the little fella's voice.
No. Well, it's about time.
That's obvious, isn't it?
It's about time we knocked on the door and told them to get stuff. Thanks, Ange.
Thanks, Ange. Let's go to Rick from Harndorf. Rick.
How are you, mate?
Good. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think about the individual players. Some of these guys may be club devoted, but they can also reach a higher state in their careers by going along and being picked up by people and and making it into the big time.
Yeah, but Rick, see,
there's a bigger picture, isn't there, KG?
Exactly right, Bluey. There's a far bigger picture, Rick, and that is what it will do to the fabric of the Sandful competition. It's all very well. Look, I'd love to see kids get drafted, but not mid-season. It defies logic.
All right, thanks, Rick. Let's go to Michael from Christie's Beach. Morning, Michael.
Hey, boys.
Hey, Michael. What's your take on this?
I mean, I don't really like it, but I suppose you're not going to have much of a choice. They're going to come up with something. But what I was thinking is maybe, I think each club's got four rookie players that maybe you could call from them. You know, like if, say, for instance, Sam Jacobs goes down and Port's got a rookie listed ruckman, maybe the Crows could grab him. And then, I don't know, maybe in future years they could change the rookies where you could have, say, three under 18 rookies or under 20s or whatever it is. And then went and say maybe two mature age rookies. So,
Michael, I don't mind the AFL considering having a mid-season AFL draft. I don't mind that at all. Mm. But don't come over here and pinch our better players and ruin our competition. That's the part that's up my nose. Thanks, Michael, for your call. Interesting.
All right, Ryan from Prospect. What are your thoughts on this mid-season draft?
Yeah, good day, guys. I think it's a pretty terrible idea, but I think the main question that we really need to start asking, the AFL has obviously become a monopoly, as big corporations do over time.
Yep.
And we have to start asking, well, where is this policy coming from? And obviously we're starting to see a model that's very heavily modeled after the NFL. And we're trying to change our game into a world sport is where you'd think that the AFL is, you know, trying to take it. As monopolies grow, and as we're seeing, you know, Port over in China and all of those things. And I think the thing we kind of need to remember is AFL is an Australian sport, and an Australian sport that is arguably, I would say, for me, the best sport in the world. And if we're going to take policies from other countries and morph it into just something that it isn't, we're really going to lose the game.
Well, and added to that, of course, Nick, is the fact that if you destroy grassroots football,
yes, KG,
you're not going to get the talent through, so you'll the top part of it will also fall over. It doesn't make sense, Nick, for one moment. It just defies logic. I never thought the AFL would do this, but they are a giant corporation who just think they can wave the big stick and get their own bloody way, and it annoys me. Thanks, Nick, for your thoughts there. I'll get some prizes going a little later.
We do have some prizes, Cage. We've got passes to go and see First Man, which is that new Ryan Gosling film about the first man on the moon, which
is a fantastic movie. Yeah.
We've also got double VIP passes to the UBET Adelaide Cup, which is Friday the 12th of October at Angle Park. Get your tickets from grsa.com.au. You can keep the conversation going about a mid-season draft on Twitter at Triple M Adelaide as well. For CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer, this is Dead Set Legends with Kent KG Cunningham and Greg Blewett. Very soon, we're going to get the latest odds with Jared Daffy from UBET, your home for sports and racing markets this spring. Head to ubet.com or download the UBET app today. Gamble responsibly.
At home. Yep. With the legends.
Wait till I see you. At home with the legends. Now, don't you start laughing, Bluey, because I've got mail on you.
Oh, hang on.
You've been very, very, very nasty to your lovely wife, Catherine.
Never nasty.
You have been very... My mail is, you've been very angry. Tell me the story. You and Catherine had words?
Well, it's an ongoing problem, KG. On the common denominator, yeah. No, it's an issue with the vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner.
Right, so generally the first television that I watch during the day is at night time when I get home and I watch the news.
Yes.
And probably the highlight of the news for me is when the sport comes on.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So anyway, I watch the news, find out what's going on, and then the sport's coming on. So righto, I look forward to that. Without fail, every night, as soon as the sport comes on, on comes the vacuum. Catherine decides to do the vacuuming.
Well, Catherine's at some stage.
Yeah, okay. We'll just wait another 5 minutes and then do the vacuuming when the weather's on. Anyway, so Saturday, AFL Grand Final is on, right?
Oh, you're kidding
me. I'm at home having a couple of beers, watching one of the great AFLs finals of all time.
Correct.
Yep.
It's the three-quarter. It's the three-quarter
time break.
No, just before. There's 3 minutes to go. Scores are tied. What comes on? The vacuum.
The vacuum.
What the hell is going on here? Anyway, and then just to top it all off, she says, so she does the vacuuming. Scores are still tied. And she goes, oh, can you just do the rug because I don't want to get in between you and the TV. I'm vacuuming during the AFL Grand
Final.
Well,
how weak are you?
Oh, how weak am I?
I'd have walked up and pulled the plug out of the bloody wall.
Oh, honestly. So, yeah, anyway, we've got to get that right because, you know, it's not that hard. Now, what about you, Kate? You came in this morning a little bit, you know, well, a bit flat.
I'm not happy with my daughter because my two granddaughters have gone away on holiday. And I see them every day, taking to school, do this, do that. And it's a part of my ritual that I love doing it. And, you know, being with them and taking down the shop. I've gone away for a week to the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah.
On holidays. And I've been given strict instructions. I said to Sally yesterday, I said, I'm just going to give Hunter or Dakota a call. She said, Dad, they're on holidays. Don't you dare pick up the phone and ring Hunter or Dakota. I said, why?
Yeah,
why? Because you see them every day. They're on holidays. Leave them alone.
They need a break from Pop.
They need a break, a big break from Pop. So I spat the dummy.
There you go.
I took off in a huff.
Hush.
So I'm not talking to it at the moment. So it hadn't been a good week for me.
Hasn't been a good week at all.
Spot on, mate.
Nonetheless, if you have anything that you want to tell the boys, you can tell us here at Bed Set. Oh, come on. Louis! Not now! Louis!
Ours is louder than that.
Dead Set Legends, the CMY Toyota Triple M.
Well, now, Bluey, the other thing we should talk about this morning is the fact that I read in the Melbourne Age the other day that the AFL is strongly considering introducing the red card system into AFL football. And I've been saying now for a long time we shouldn't keep changing the game and so forth. But when you think back as to two incidents this year on the football field, the Andrew Gaff one against young Brayshaw.
Yep.
And the other one was Jeremy Clayton against
Jeremy Cameron.
Jeremy Cameron, sorry, yep. Where both players that were hit illegally were forced to leave the ground. And I don't believe that's fair. If a player is illegally hit, like those two players were, and they're forced to leave the ground and take no further part in the game, I think the red card should apply in an instance like that. You've got to be very careful. You don't sort of overuse it. It's only for instances like I've just mentioned, that where players who've been hit illegally are forced to leave the ground. And I think the red card system could be and probably should be introduced to because they're a man down.
Yeah,
a side could be a man down.
It's an interesting one. There's no doubt about that. And there are ex players like I heard Paul Roos throughout the summer saying, throughout the football season saying, at the start of it he was against the red cards and because of those instances he's saying actually that's changed his view.
It's changed my view.
What other sport though is synonymous with red cards?
Soccer.
Soccer. And yep. What happens in soccer the players?
Well, they carry on like
they carry
like
on
shot.
Like pork chops. Yep. They roll around about every time they get touched. Yeah. They.
Yep.
I've just got a worry that some of our footballers, because, yep. You know, it's always been part of our great game is, you know, they milk free kicks. And yep. Then if you bring in the red card, you're going to see players staying down for longer and I think exaggerating free kicks and hard contests. Yep. So I'm not a big fan. I think these instances happen once in a blue moon.
Yeah, but
and if they do happen, they get dealt with. And I know you're talking about that particular game.
On the day.
On the day.
They're a man down.
Yes.
And that's an unfair contest through no fault of their own. If a player is hit illegally and the player that is hit is forced to leave the ground, then the red card should apply.
I get that point, but I think at some stage that red card is going to get clouded at various times throughout, and
there's
it'll just
that
get,
chance,
and it'll just happen year after year. It'll get worse and worse. So I'm saying no red cards.
Okay, well, I'm saying yes, a red card. Okay, give us your thoughts, folks. Red card or no red card in AFL football? 133353. That is our number. 133353. No red card or yes, the red card.
Let us know on Twitter as well at Triple M Adelaide. For CMI Toyota, this is Dead Set Legends with KG and Bluey. 104.7 Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer, Ken KG Cunningham and Greg Blewett.
Good on you, Hados. On the topic, folks, 133353 is our number. Should there be a red card, yes or no? I say yes. Bluey, you're not for it.
I'm not for it. We're AFL. We're not soccer. KG? Well,
it can work in both codes.
All right.
133353 is our number.
Let's listen to some of our callers. Let's go to John Riddell. Is this the John Riddell? Jack, good morning.
Luckily, there's only one of me, Bluey.
Hello, Jack.
Plenty to go around. KG, how are you?
I'm good, mate. Good, mate. What's your take?
Haven't you come around?
Yeah, I have.
This topic's come up before, and you said there's absolutely not a hope in hell. I think it quite was. And go
correct.
For a red cut.
Correct.
But look, there's one thing you said. You said an illegal hit on a player that takes him out of the game. Now, he gets reported for that, but he's got to go to a tribunal to have it proved that it was an illegal hit. So how do you deal with that with a red card? Because you've set him off believing it's an illegal hit, but he hasn't been proven guilty.
No, fair call, but you would have a gentleman in the grandstand who has the television replay, and it may take him 5 or 6 minutes to replay the incident, and then he can be fully conversant with the hit, how it happened, whether or not it was illegal. And
so he's sent off, and then he's going to be done by the tribunal as well.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, okay.
Yep, that's
my
view.
Well, I played hockey, like you, Bluey. I like to play sport with a weapon. Now, I played for Port Adelaide, and I spent lots of time behind the goals for getting a card. So it does work in sport.
Yep.
And, you know, we all knew as players that once the card came out and you were sent off for 5 minutes, the first thing that happened, the coach would come down and rip your head off for being off the ground. So I think I'm for it. I am for it.
Well, there you go. Well, good on you, Jack. Jack Riddell there from Channel 7. Good bloke, Jack.
Yeah, great bloke.
He's on my team too, by the way.
Yeah, he's come around as well. Right, Alf from North Haven. What are your thoughts on the red cards, Alf?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Quite in favour of it. Amateur League have been doing it for quite a while. They use the yellow card and the red card system. Seems to work very well. You're saying about soccer. I agree with Bluey there in soccer. Go back to last Sunday in the NRL Grand Final. Well, they used the red card system.
Yep.
I think, from memory, one of the Melbourne Storm guys got sent off for 10 minutes through an infringement.
Yeah,
that penalises that side.
Yeah,
great.
I don't think they've got a red card. They've just got like a 10-minute sin bin.
Yeah,
that's it's a similar thing, though, because, okay, let's look at the, I don't want to bring it up again, but I will, Andrew Gaspiston.
Yep.
Okay, he took out a player. The opposition now is one player down.
Correct.
One player down.
That's why I've changed my view on it.
Yeah, exactly, because then Gaff says, oh, you're a naughty boy, you got to face the tribunal in 3 days' time. You can go on playing, though. But the other side, who he, allegedly deliberately took out and took that guy out for the rest of the game, that opposition side is now penalised.
Correct. Mm. Yeah, they're a man down. No, very good point there, Alf. Absolutely, I agree with you. That's my reason.
All right, Jules from Ross Trevor, your thoughts. Jules?
Hey, boys. Well, I was thinking with the gas incident, Brayshaw got hit so bad that he had to come off the field and West Coast had the advantage because gas got to stay on. I was thinking that if players were trying to milk that they got hit so hard, it might not be an advantage for them because if they got as hit as hard as Brayshaw, they'd have to go off anyway.
Yep.
So then if the person who hits them get the red card, then they're going to have, it's going to be fair because both of them are going to go off.
And if they
milk it, they might not have got hit that hard, so they're not going to go off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. It can only be used, I think, in extreme cases like the Andrew Gaff one, where Brayshaw was forced off the ground, broken jaw, loose tooth.
Yeah, I still think over the years, though, you're still going to get some grey areas that are going to be controversial. But Anyway, just my views. And we're going to some more callers, Haydos?
We'll do Bryn, who's in Seton. G'day, bud.
Yeah, g'day, guys. And good conversation. Very easy to solve this one. I'm an ex-Rugby League player.
Yeah.
And with the AFL, I think what they can do, if a player is damaged on the ground, and has to be removed from the ground, the player who incurred the infringement gets a yellow card, spends 10 minutes off. Should the player not be able to return to the ground, that player is immediately given a red card, he can't return. Therefore, the infringing club is basically giving a disadvantage, as they should be.
Yeah, interesting.
The club that has actually had the infringement occurred upon them, he still has their same rotations, has a player in spare, come through, and therefore they can rotate their rotations through properly. And it still goes to match review panel for the cost of maybe a week or two or a fine, whatever they do. But that player and the club are penalised because of that player's infringement on causing another player to leave the field for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's the issue here. That it's unfair that a side that's been a player's been illegally hit plays a man down. They're penalised, and that's not fair. I was like you once upon a time. I said no, I don't like it. It's not our sort of go. But having seen what it's done, that's it. Now, to me, red card for sure.
Let us know on Twitter at Triple M Adelaide. It's Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota with Ken, KG Cunningham and Greg Blewett.
Yeah, good on you, Haydos. We've been talking all morning about the AFLs have made a decision to next year introduce a mid-season draft, which to my way of thinking is absolutely ludicrous, stupid. It'll almost destroy the SNFL. Let's talk to a man now, of course, who hopes to get picked up in next month's draft. A man who's had a wonderful year for the Red Legs, Jewel McGarry Millers, young Mitch Gregg. Mitch, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate having me on.
Absolute pleasure, Mitch. First of all, going back to the grand final, congratulations on your magnificent performance, but disappointing from the Red Legs' point of view.
Yeah, obviously, shattering results, and yep. We probably were the favourites going in. Obviously, after our year, and they were just better on the day, and hopefully we can use that to drive us for next year.
Okay, Mitch, talking about the mid-year draft that has been proposed by the AFL, can I ask your thoughts on is it right or is it wrong?
If I was to be picked up halfway through a year, I just wouldn't want that to happen to me. The only way it's going to work is if it comes to a player that's at a listed on an AFL club,
yep.
And he's not getting what he probably thinks he deserves to be getting, game wise. That's when it could probably work. If he's not getting a go at his listed side, and another club thinks they could use him,
yep.
That's I reckon where it could work. But in regards to taking a player out of the VFL, out of the SANFL halfway through the year. It's a lot to give up for, potentially 4 months just to play footy. So in that respect, I don't think it'll work.
Mitch, you've obviously been in the AFL system. You're now, back in the SANFL system. How do you think the AFL is going about this? Do you, as an SANFL player, do you feel like the AFL are just worried about their competition and not worried about the SANFL?
Well, if you think about the damage it could do to a SANFL club, if their best player is potentially taken out of their team, and it can disrupt the whole season. It's just not on, I don't think, in my eyes. And obviously, seeing it from both sides, I don't see how that player could come in and have an impact halfway through a season anyway. So it'd be a very extremely hard task for a player to come in and get games and also impact if he plays. So I just don't think it's going to work in that respect.
No, Mitch, it will destroy the SANFL, Mitch. Like for argument's sake, if they took two or three players out of Norwood side last year, Panos, yourself and Chenton, goodbye season, end of ball game.
Oh, exactly right, and that's the thing with SANFL teams. Generally, you've got your top five players, and then you've got your other players underneath that you know, play their role. And if you have the sort of, so to speak, stars taken out of a side, it's extremely impactful. And, you know, like you said, it can ruin the whole season.
Exactly. Now, just quickly, yes or no, Mitch, the red card system. Are you in favour of it or not?
Not really. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, personally, it would probably take me out of a few games. But no, I don't think it's that beneficial, to be honest. I think the tribunal's there for a reason. And, you know, yeah, I just don't see it working for our game.
Right, fair enough. Good luck next month, Mitch, and yep. All the very best, Mitch.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot, guys.
Mitch Greig, he's a good player.
Jeez, he had another good year, didn't he?
Oh, belter of a year. Unbelievable. Should be playing AFL.
Hopefully he gets picked up.
He will. He'll get picked up next month, no doubt.
Got Blues cricket wrap next, and there's more happening than just it in Canberra at the moment. Blues got the whole lot. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer. Time for Blues cricket wrap. I don't like
cricket. Last night, what was on last night? I love it. Oh, gee, here we go again.
Now, KG, the Redbacks are out of the JLT One Day Cup.
Yep.
So that was a bit disappointing. Finished third after the group stage, then lost to Queensland in the first qualifying final.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing. Jake Weatherald, Ferguson and Zampa can all hold their head. Yeah, yep. they had good campaigns. The semis are Tasmania versus Queensland and WA versus Victoria over the weekend to go into that final. So all the best to those sides. Now, of course, Pakistan versus Australia in the first test starting tomorrow over in Dubai.
KG. New era for Australian cricket.
Travis Head, our own Travis Fantastic. Head, making his debut. So obviously we wish him all the best, a local boy.
Yep.
So he'll get his chance in the middle order. Also on debut, Aaron Finch. So he'll open the innings.
He deserves a chance too.
I'd love to see him go out just like T20 style.
And go bang, bang, bang. Yep. Now, test cricket's different to that, though. You got to build.
What about Virinder Sehwag?
He used to go out there and smack it.
So I want to see Aaron Finch play his natural game. Now, you mentioned Manus Labuschagne. Yeah. He may get a debut as well, depending on him or Matt Renshaw. Hasn't had an ideal preparation because he got a smack in the head in the lead-up game. Also, Michael Neeser might debut, depending on what they do with Peter Siddle.
I've got who would you play?
I'd play Peter Siddle.
Would you?
Yep. Mm. He's up and about and going well. Now, the T20 side has been chosen as well for a three-game series in the UAE. Finch is captain of that. Mitch Marsh and our own Alex Carey, joint vice captain. So that's good news for Alex Carey.
Fantastic.
Agar, Coulton Isle, Lynn, Lyon, Maxwell, Ben McDermott is the other bolter from Tasmania, 23 years of age, good young player. Short, Stanlake, Stark, Ty, and Adam Zampa has worked his way back into the side.
He's done very well because some people wrote him off, Adam Zampa.
Yep, so that's a good result for Adam and a pretty good side, I reckon. Now, the girls won their last game
Smashed
of their
them.
Series against New Zealand last night in Canberra, very chilly Canberra, and they win that series 3-0, so great start to the summer for the girls. Now, India are playing the West Indies at the moment in India. Now, India obviously are coming out to Australia, so I'll just give you a little bit of news on their side. Virat Kohli overnight scored his 24th Test century.
He's a freak, isn't he?
The second quickest ever to 24 Test centuries.
He is a freak with a bat.
Took him 123 innings. Sir Donald Bradman, 66.
Oh,
so that just goes to show you how good Sir Don was. Now, India have also unearthed a new superstar, KG.
Yeah.
Remember this name. Prithvi Shaw made his debut in this game, 18 years of age, and scored a century on debut. 134 off 154 another deliveries. Just about to run a ball. 18 years of age.
Another Tendulkar.
Yep, short in stature, comes from Mumbai, use MRF bats like Sachin did. What about this, though? At 14 years of age for his school team, he made 546. 546, if you don't mind. Who bats for that long? And he also made a century on debut in first-class cricket. So he's at 18 years of age. He's played 14.
So will he come to Australia?
Yes, he will. 14 first-class games. He's already got 700s and 550s and is averaging 56.
I know you shouldn't compare.
So look out for that young man, Prithvi Shaw, who will be coming to our shores for this summer.
Beautiful. Can't wait for the Indians to get here so we can kick him in the backside and send him home.
That's right.
Beautiful.
That is Blues Cricket Wrap. I don't like
cricket. Woody season's over, Cage.
No, it's not. I love
it. Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota Triple M.
Anya Haydos, we've been talking most of the morning about the proposed mid-season draft, which the AFL Commission, we believe, has given the green light to, which will start next year, which is an absolute disgrace. It could well be see the end of the SANFL, to be quite frank. And the part that I'm upset about, other than the fact of what damage it could do to the local comp, is that we don't seem to be fighting it strongly enough. We've sent a letter. I'd be over there banging on the bloody door of Gillon McLachlan saying, we want to look at this again. We want to sit down and have a long, hard chat about the repercussions. We don't do that. We just sort of sit back and cop it. That's the other part that infuriates me.
Well, hopefully the AFL consulted, which I'm sure they would have, the SANFL, but generally whatever the AFL wants, they get pretty much.
Standover tactics. It's the big bully at its best, and the AFL thinks that they can just ride roughshod over anything.
It's been a very unpopular decision, hasn't it? There's been a lot of fallout.
Sense to it.
Yeah.
There's sense to it. Anyway, you can give us a call, 1-333-530. But this is what Mitch Gregg, the Norwood Premiership player, had to say about it a few moments ago on Triple M.
If you think about the damage it could do to a SANFL club, you know, if their best player is potentially taken out of their team, and you know, it can disrupt the whole season. It's just not on, I don't think, in my eyes. And you know, obviously, seeing it from both sides, I don't see how that player could come in and have an impact halfway through a season anyway. So, yeah, I just don't think it's going to work in that respect.
Well, there's Mitch Gregg, one of the best players in the SANFL competition, saying that he's against the situation. And I totally and utterly agree, Bluey.
All right, let's hear from one of our callers, KG. Nick from Kangaroo Island, thanks for hanging on, mate. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts regarding the players that might get drafted, what sort of fitness base would they have coming from a semi-professional league, all of a sudden having to step up to AFL standard?
Yeah, good point.
Oh, great.
I mean, are they going to be able to walk in fully fit, or are they going to have to do like a mini pre-season and not be available at the end of the year?
That's a good point, Nick, because Mitch Gregg made that same point. He said it would be hard to go over there and in 4 months impress and do what they expect you to do. But that is an issue, a dead set issue, but my main concern is what damage it'll do to the SANFL competition, Nick. It could be that, without being too dramatic, it could be the death knell.
Oh, I totally agree. And to me, drafting a player that's not going to be fit is indicative of how they're disregarding the whole concept. I mean, why are they having a mid-season draft? Because clubs will have... They need to replace injured players halfway through the year?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. That could be one reason. Yeah, exactly right.
But if this guy's not going to get his fitness base up for, I don't know, a couple of months, he's not going to be able to replace that player anyway.
No, I totally and utterly agree with you, Nick.
Good call, Nick.
In fact, I'm going to give you a prize. Nick, you've scored a double VIP pass to the UBET Adelaide Cup Friday the 12th of October at Angle Park. Absolutely magnificent. So it's down the line there, Nick. You can give us a call, folks. Lines are open. Your thoughts on the mid-season draft? 1-333-530 is our number. Go to it. Come on, bit of passion. We need some passion.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M, for CMI Toyota. For CMI Toyota, South Australia's number one Toyota dealer, it is Dead Set Legends with KG and Greg Blewett.
Good on you, Haydos. And our situation or topic at the moment is the mid-season draft that's been proposed and given the green light by the AFL, which will come into vogue next year. Is it right? Is it wrong? I think it's a disgrace. 1-333-530 is our number.
Yeah, there hasn't been too many positive thoughts on it, but we might get some from our callers. Well, let's just have to wait and see. Let's hear from Alex from Westbourne Park. Good morning, Alex.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Alex.
Isn't the idea of you having a list management or a list so you can manage your list?
Correct.
List manager?
Correct.
So if they want, rather than do the mid-season draft, give them an extra player like they had a couple of years ago. But manage your players. You don't need a mid-season draft.
No, just leave our grassroots competition alone.
How many is on the...
KG, 40. Do they do the same with the Western Australia and Victoria if they do the mid-season draft?
That's a good...
Or how does that work?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know what the situation is in WA. All I know is what's happening here. And we've got our clubs up in arms about it, Alex.
But I don't
maybe do a bit of work so you find out what it is, because if you do that, then you're ruining the whole competition Australia-wide, not just this NFL.
Correct, and that's a very valid point, actually. If it's applicable Australia-wide, you are stuffing up the...
Well, it'd have to be Australia-wide. No,
well, you would think.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good point, Alex. Well, follow that one through.
Good morning, Rob from Glenelg.
Hey, fellas, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks,
really good.
Good. I'm going to go against the grain and probably upset your base, but I reckon it's a fantastic opportunity for some kid that's missed out on the draft that gets a run halfway through the season. It's a good incentive for them to train hard, and you get picked up, and surely the clubs want their fellas and their boys to be playing at the highest level and have that opportunity. I think it's fantastic for the kids that miss out to have a run. Like, what a dream to get a gig in the AFL. Halfway through the season for those young fellows. Good on them.
No, I agree with that, idea. Robin, and I reckon we've brought that point up, but that is the only positive that I see. No, I reckon there's a lot more.
No, but that's not even a positive. Like, as Mitch Griggs said a moment ago, you've got to leave your job, because the players in the sandful are working, you've got to leave your job and get over there for 4 months.
Yeah, but if you're a young kid, 18, 19, you're just, any opportunity to play AFL, you're jumping at it.
No, it's just not viable at all, I don't think.
All right, thanks, Rob. Time now for Sean from Paraka. What are your thoughts on the mid-season draft?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks, Sean.
I'm for it, but with provisos.
What's the proviso?
Well, I think it should be all within the AFL current drafted players.
Yes.
So they've got a list of 40 players.
Yep.
I use a guy like Ben Jarman as an example. Didn't get a run at the Crows, but if another club were looking for a player at a mid-season draft, he could potentially get... He's already AFL trained.
Yep.
All of a sudden, he can get picked up. He doesn't ruin the NFL competition.
Yep.
And he gets his opportunity at another AFL club, which he wasn't going to get at Adelaide.
Yep. Fine.
So they can have their internal draft, but have it of the internal players who are currently on lists.
Yeah, exactly right.
And don't touch, like, you can imagine, as we've said on this program about four or five times this morning, that if an AFL club came over and pinched Panos, Grigg and Shenton from Norwood halfway through the year, their chance of winning a premiership are gone. It's a waste of season.
Yeah.
That's not on.
Just do it amongst the AFL clubs. John from Hackham West. Good morning, John.
Good morning, how are you going?
Good, thanks, John.
Yeah, I think the caller before touched on it. It gives a great opportunity for a young fellow who's burning it up at, say, Norwood or over in WA somewhere to get an opportunity to represent himself in the AFL. And just to touch on that, haven't the Australian crickets been doing that for years, where they rip out all players from New South Wales Shield or South Australian Shield, whack them in the Australian side, and then the New South Wales or South Australian Shield side suffer from it? But that's been happening for years anyway.
Yeah. But John, you can't compare those cases, because within the Australian cricket organisation, it is one competition. Here we're talking about two competitions, the SANFL and the AFL. It's totally different.
Talking about Australia cricket team and then the Shield matches. So you're talking about two different competitions completely.
But it's
the direct pathway into the Australian cricket team.
That's the only way you can get into the Australian cricket team.
Yeah, well, that's how it's set up, so...
All right.
Yeah.
No worries, John. Thank you very much for your call, mate. Josh from Hackham, your thoughts?
Yeah, hey, boys. Listen, I just think it'll destroy the players' confidence, to be honest with you. I mean, you can't expect someone from the SANFL, but don't get me wrong, everyone wants, the dream is to play AFL. But say, for example, Clayton Oliver got injured from Melbourne and they picked up someone from Norwood or North or South. They won't be able to have the same expectations
and
come up to AFL fitness and level to replace his spot. And then what's going to happen to the player when he can't do it?
He gets chopped. Exactly right.
It'll destroy him, and then he's going to come back here, and it could potentially destroy the team if they're going well, and they take the best player out.
There's not one advantage out of this stupid situation. How it got the green light from the AFL Commission, it's got me stuffed.
And AFL teams and players always talk about the importance of pre-season. If you have an interrupted pre-season, then that affects your AFL season. But you can't tell me that SANFL players have the same pre-seasons as AFL players.
They're not professional.
Yeah.
In the true sense of the word, I know what I mean. No, there's not one positive out of the whole shebang. Fair dinkum.
BMI Toyota, it's Triple M's Dead Set Legends with KG Bluey. Don't forget, wind your clocks forward an hour tonight.
Yeah, we lose an hour of sleep. Daylight saving. Well, at 2:30 today, everybody's eyes will be on the TV or the radio because the great mare goes around, and hopefully today it'll be 28 wins on the trot. Let's welcome to the program and have a chat about that. The best caller in Australia, the best race caller, Terry McCall of Macca. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Cage. Thanks for having me on. It's just ridiculous, really, isn't it? Oh. Thinking she's going for 28 straight today.
Mate, will the dream continue, Macca?
Oh, well, it should do so, mate. It's almost impossible to see why it won't continue today. But as I said, I was just having a think about it the other day. 27 wins in a row at the moment. Things can go wrong in sport, whether yep. you're a cricketer and you get a bad decision, or if you're a footballer and you just have an off day, but 27 straight, it's ridiculous.
Macca, I was reading with a great deal of interest this morning and if she is to be beaten, it can only be because of bad luck in my view, but I read where Hughie Bowman made the point, I'm going to do the same thing today as I've done previously, I'm going to ride her conservatively. Now that's fine, but I've had a heart attack on a couple of occasions thinking to myself, she can't win from where she is.
Yeah, no, well, you're right. That's generally her pattern. She drifts back into the second half yep. of the field, sometimes all the way right back to the tail. And you just think, turning for home, is she going to get them? And then all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, the race is all over. And she gets into cruise control and just goes to another gear. And away she goes and makes it look so easy. And you think, yeah, what were we worried about? But I guess it's just that feeling, Cage. You yeah. don't want her to lose, so you're entitled to be nervous, I guess, if you're looking on and you love your racing.
Exactly.
And Terry, she's done it over most distances. Today's race over 2,000 metres, that obviously suits her, you think?
Yeah, well, she's only been beaten once at 2,000 metres, Blue. She's only been beaten six times in her career, but all of her defeats came very, very early on. But yeah, she's had eight goes at the 2,000 metres and won seven of them. Of course, it's the Cox Plate distance as well, yep. and she's going in a fortnight's time for the incredible record of making it four consecutive Cox Plates. She equaled the mighty Kingston Town last year. I didn't really think we'd see another horse do that, win three Cox Plates, and she's on the verge now of winning four.
And her last run at Flemington, do you think, Terry?
You'd think that would probably be the case. She's only going to have one more run. It'll be in the Cox Plate, and you reckon they would pull the pin and they'd try and maybe pick some races early next year. This time next year, she'll more than likely be in foal. She'll be off to the breeding barn. So, yeah, I suspect this is probably the final time she'll be at Flemington. And, of course, the great horse who was retired last Friday night when he refused to jump from the barrier yeah. once again, Chautauqua, he's actually parading today at Flemington as well. So, just an added bonus for those that are turning up to see the mighty mare. I'm sure that, he'll get a cheer almost as big as the one that she will get when he parades onto the track, because he's a real favourite. That racing pattern of his as well, where he gets out the yep. back and you think, gee, he can't possibly win, and then he can just unleash this devastating turn of foot. So yeah, it'll be a pretty special day there at Flemington. And I think you might be right, Blue. Perhaps the last time she races at, I think you can say headquarters of racing in Australia, Flemington.
Macca, if she wins her fourth Cox Plate, would they pull the pin or will they continue to race her because she's, 7 years old?
Yeah, well, the breeding season here, though, Cage, basically from the 1st of August. So, they wouldn't be able to get her in foal until this time next year anyway. So right. you would think they would probably come back. Well, they'd certainly bring her into work. And, they won't do anything detrimental no. to her. They'll protect her record now. But they'd bring her back in the autumn. There's some big races in Sydney over there. Championship Carnival now worth great money, and not that it's all about the money, but they're the races she can obviously run in and dominate. And look, there's every likelihood, if we look back to the championships this year, what did she win? She won the Chipping Norton, she won the George Ryder, that's worth $1 million, and Queen Elizabeth worth $4 million. Look, that might be her last run, maybe the Queen Elizabeth in April next year. So what's she got? She's got maybe today, the Cox Plate, maybe three or four runs left in Sydney. So I think we're down to that, you know, we're certainly in the twilight of her career, even though she's going as well as ever.
Exactly.
Well, we don't want it to win. And of course, we've had Black Caviar before Winks, Terry. In the racing circles, is there any talk about the next superstar coming through?
Look, I don't think so. Not at the moment, Bluey. And the big problem, as I keep banging on about, what they do these days with the males, and you've mentioned, you know, the females, and of course we had Maccabi Diva win 3 Melbourne Cups. Yep. We had the great New Zealand mare, Sunline. Like, the mares have really been the dominant force in Australian racing in the last 20 years. And it's more so because the colts are worth so much money at stud.
Yeah.
They protect their records. So they get the Group One or a couple of Group Ones on the board, and then they're retired immediately to stud, because, you know, Winks and Sunline and Black Caviar, they can go to stud and have one foal a year. These boys, off they go to stud, may serve about 150, 200 mares a year, and they're doing it at big money and earning massive money.
Exactly.
So, is there a superstar on the verge at the moment to fill her shoes? I'd have to say the answer to that would be no.
No. Mac, appreciate your time. Good calling today at Morpheville, and go Winks at 2:30 in the Turnbull Stakes, Macca.
Yeah, just one other thing too, boys. The Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour is here at Morpheville on Monday between 4 and 8 o'clock, and of course daylight saving kicking in tonight. So, and I think it's going to be about 25, 26 degrees on Monday, so it'll be just perfect down on the champagne lawns. Oh. A chance to come along and maybe get your photo taken with the Lexus Melbourne Cup. Well, I think that cup's worth about $250,000 or something like that, Cage. It's quite remarkable. And Greg Miles, who has called more Melbourne Cups than anyone, he retired after his 36th Melbourne Cup call. He'll be here as part of the Lexus Melbourne Cup Tour on Monday. So, as I said, it's a free event. There'll be bar facilities. There'll be a barbecue going as well between 4 and 8 here at Morpheville on Monday.
Good on you, good Macca. Call. Good calling. Good on you, Macca. Terry McCall. Best call in Australia, Macca. And go Winks. Go Winks. You beauty.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends for CMI Toyota with KG, Ken Cunningham, and Greg Blewett.
Now, we mentioned, KG, that the Redbacks are out of the JLT One Day Cup. Unfortunately, they finished third in the group stages and then lost to Queensland in the quarterfinal or the qualifying.
You did precious little help them. You're back in Adelaide.
Well, hang on, mate. Yeah, I was.
Don't call me mate. Don't call me mate. Don't try and top battle.
Anyway, we've got a very special guest, and to talk us through it, had a very good JLT Cup.
Did he ever?
Series, a couple of hundreds, played very well, of course, as represented Australia at test match level and ODIs.
And was treated absolutely disgracefully.
Well, we might ask him about that. Welcome to Dead Set Legends, Callum Ferguson. Hey, Ferg.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Now, disappointing. Finished third. Didn't play our best cricket throughout that tournament, I don't think.
No, very flattening, Blue. We were just inconsistent throughout the tournament. We play a good 50 overs with the bat, or 50 overs with the ball, or a good 40 overs with the bat, and then a disappointing 10 overs, and it just kept hurting us, our inconsistency. So we saw again the other night, we got ourselves into a winning position with the bat, and really should have iced the game off, and we weren't good enough. So we've got a bit of work to do. Looking forward to next year. Obviously, another 12 months again before we play a white ball cricket in the Reds, and we'll have to reassess things. But there was enough positivity there. I think enough of the individuals had some really good performances to go into the Shield season with some confidence as individuals. But just unfortunately, as a team, we didn't put the 100 overs together often enough.
No, that seemed like, Ferg, with the batting, that someone did something decent each game, but there was no one really batting around that person.
Yeah, I think that's probably a reasonable point too. We did have, I remember in the first game, we had Jake Lehman and Jake Weatherall both bat through the innings and get us to the win. But too often we were just consistently losing wickets through the middle of the innings, which didn't really allow us to get two set batters at the crease often enough, which we all know can be so damaging. So unfortunately, we've got to look at that for next year and try and work out what was causing that and rectify it, because it just hurt us too often.
Fergie, I know every competition is important, and every competition the boys want to win, but my first love and strongest love is with the Sheffield Shield. We've come close a few times. My only concern this year, and this is probably a question without notice, How much cricket are we going to see for South Australia from Carey and Head once the Shield comp kicks in and the Test series?
Well, I'm hopeful we're not going to see much at all. I'm pretty confident Travis is going to nail down a spot in the Test side, and then
play a big role in the one-day team, and Alex Carey playing in two white ball formats, hopefully. So I'm hopeful we're not going to see a lot of them.
Well, can we cover them, though, Ferg?
I feel like we can, yeah. So I feel like, you know, you look through our batting order now,
yep,
and it's not a young, talented group anymore. It's a hardened first-class unit now. So, right.
Good point.
I'm really confident that those guys are at the point now where they're just about all senior players, and then, you know, guys like Tom Cooper and Alex Ross, who are both sort of in and out depending on when travel was available last year,
yep,
are both ready to go and hardened first-class cricketers now as well. So the depth is there. And then we saw young Harry Nielsen walk into the side last year and make 100-odd debuts. So there's a lot to like. I think our bowling stocks are good. Yep. We've got depth there. We need to try and get Frankie Worrell back up and running and on the park. And one to watch is probably Spencer Johnson for mine, left arm fast bowler who gets it up around 140, 145 kg.
Whoa.
So something to get excited about.
We just got to get him on the park, Fergie. Now,
that's right.
Very important tomorrow for our captain, Travis Head, who's been guaranteed a spot and making his debut for Australia. Very exciting.
Yeah, it is. And we've all been abuzz with that at the Redbacks. We can't wait. We'll all be sitting glued to the TV screen, try and get a glimpse of the presentation of his cap. It's always interesting to see who gets the job to hand the cap out and make a speech. But we just can't wait. I'm just really excited. I feel like he's going to potentially have a bit of a Ricky Ponting impact on the society when he has a go when he plays for the Redbacks. He goes out there and turns the game in our favour so often with the way he plays. He's a real counterpuncher. So I feel like he's going to have a real impact for the test team.
Ooh,
and Fergie, your own form, of course,
red hot. You
came off England. You spent a couple of months over there and brained it with Worcester and then came back and played really well, especially towards the end of the JLT.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm in a good space with my batting at the moment. You know, having had a few years now since that last knee injury, I feel like I've got good continuity in my game, and going over and playing in England helped me stay in that rhythm. I was a bit frustrated early in the JLT Cup. I found a couple of strange ways to get out, but felt like I really got back to, you know, batting deep into the innings at the end of the tournament, and managed to put a few scores on the board, which was nice. And unfortunately, it wasn't quite enough to keep us in the tournament. But feeling pretty good about my own game right at the minute.
Good on you, Ferg.
Well, Ferg, I know you're going to have a great season, mate.
Yeah,
so we wish you all the best. Of course, it's the start of the district cricket
today,
so wish all the sides well. But thanks for joining us on Dead Set Legends, mate.
Good on
really
you, Ferg.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, boys.
See you, Ferg. Good lad,
there
Fergie.
You go, Fergie. World Cup coming up next year too, and I reckon Fergie
outside a chance.
He would be brilliant batting three or four for Australia. If he gets his chance, would do a great job.
He should have
job.
Played more Test cricket. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he was absolutely shattered about that.
Well, that was an absolute shocker. I'm filthy with the way cricket Australia handled
first
that.
First of all, you get angry.
No.
Good on you, Bluey. Get up there. Come on. Say a few things, Bluey. Punch the lights out.
I'm not cranky like you, mate. I just try and keep a fairly level sort of feel.
Treat an old man like that.
Now, you're going to watch the big race today, Cage?
Oh, I'll start to watch it, but if the sub doubt she's going to lose, I'm switching the bloody thing off.
I'm
bad loser.
Well, I've got to get out of here. I'm straight to the golf course. New course record coming up at Cooyonga, Coach.
Has Catherine given you the green light?
I walked out with my golf gear.
Because she's the boss. Okay, thanks for your company. We'll see you again next week. Bye, everyone.
The Dead Set Legends, the best way to kickstart your Saturday. And check out CMI Toyota for the best range of new and demo Toyota in stock. 104.7 Triple M.